I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the fourth and fifth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your glorious word. Thank you for your guidance, without which we wouldn't know how to act. It's sad that the government wants to take this down. If we would just all live closer to these commandments, this would be a much better place. But please bless us now. Let my words be yours. Let it go out and do well. Amen. Please be seated. When I was writing this, I broke it down and I came up with 11 because I split the first one, because that's how it's written in my Bible. So I'm going to break this down into 11 pieces and then hopefully wrap it up. The first commandment: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery. The first sounds like a reminder. Who am I? Referring to God. I'm the one who performed all the miracles in Egypt to get you out. You have to remember that at the time they were worshiping Egyptian gods, they didn't know about Yahweh yet, the God of their fathers, Isaac and Abraham. They were like the people around them. They were becoming a large nation, and the Egyptians were becoming afraid of them. So God sent them Moses to help free them. We all know the story about the 10 plagues. I got Pharaoh to send them off. So the first is to remind them of who he is, the God of their fathers, the one who got them released from slavery. Now, did I do this right? Yes. It's amazing when I get this thing to work right. Next, the part B of the first one: you shall have no other gods before me. That one sounds simple enough, or is it? Think about yourself. What do you treasure? What things prevent you from following God? Is it money? That's a big one for a lot of people, the pursuit of money. But you say, Bob, we need money to survive. We have to have it. Yes, I agree. We need to function. We need it to function. But are you giving God the time he wants from you? Money isn't bad. It's the constant pursuit of it that's bad. Remember that God will provide your needs if you follow him. I'm guilty of chasing it, but looking back, when I wasn't chasing it, he was always there to provide when I needed him. We all have either heard the story of a friend who's needed money for some emergency, or even ourselves, and God's always provided just enough. It's amazing how that works. It's not only money either. Look at your life. See what your heart's desires are, and that's where God wants to be. It's not always easy following this one. In this day and age, where the big motto is, the one with the most toys wins. Really? If that's not an empty life, I don't know what is. So think about it. Who is your God? Is it the stuff or is it the God of heaven? What did Joshua say later on in the Old Testament? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's where I want to be. Number two, or on my sheet it says three. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Wow, what a mouthful. It ties into two. What do you worship? Money, boats, cars, even food? I mean, how much stuff do you really need? And is it getting in the way of your giving yourself to him? Do you give God his portion of your earnings before or after you buy the next great apple chopper in the world? How do you show him that he's number one in your life? I'm not here to condemn you, but to make you think. I'm just like you. I need that apple chopper. It's only three easy payments in 1995, and shipping is free. With that, I'll be able to make a real apple. With that, I'll be able to make a real apple pie easily and quickly. I'll make up for it my next payday. That's what you say, and then something else always comes up. The command says he'll punish to the third and fourth generations after you. I had to think about that. And then I remembered that we teach our kids more by example than by our words. By you, our actions, we are teaching our kids what to do, and they teach theirs, and so on. So the cycle begins. I never thought of it that way. God isn't being mean. He's warning us about our behavior and what it does to our kids. You need to accept the example so they know what to do. Lucky for me, I married a God-fearing wife, a woman who knew how to set a better example than me. But don't give up. You can change. Your kids will see that, and they can change too. And look at the last part. He'll show his love to 1,000 generations. See what a good example can do. You could have your family shown love by God for a long time. There's still hope for those of us who need to rearrange our priorities. Your family will see that change, and they can change too. Next, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. This is the problem child of the Big Ten. How many of us have used God as a swear word? How often do you hear his name like that? I'm as guilty as the next guy, sorry to say. But the way I'm fixing that is to say to myself, do I really want this cursed? No, not really. Why make a bad situation worse by calling down God's wrath on it? That's not a smart move. There are times when I'm with friends and coworkers and they say it. I then ask them, do they really want to make it even worse than it already is? They get that look on their faces. The look they get on their faces is priceless, kind of confused. And then they get that enlightened moment. Then they realize that it's cursed enough without any help from God. A way I try to stop myself is to ask for help, not a curse. If you're having a problem with something, shouldn't we pray about it? That's what we're taught. So why not take a step back and pray? I know there are those of you who are handymen and women out there. I know your frustration with projects. Zoe gets scared when I get power tools out. She knows I'm a menace with them. If I don't pray about the task first, it's cursed from the get-go. Then, I'm sorry to say, the cursing starts. It's not pretty, but I'm getting better by remembering the power of our God. He can and will make it worse if you ask him to. We all need to work on our speech patterns, and this is a hard one to change. We hear it all the time, and it's hard not to fall into it with your friends. All I'm suggesting is to really think, does this situation need a cursing or a blessing? Got to remember that. Next, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Wow, that's a lot. You could do a whole sermon on this one alone, but don't worry, I'm not that smart. Taking a simple look at it, and it's clear. God is saying, take a break, 1 day a week, and devote it to him. Now, those of you who were here when Greg Peets talked about this, he broke it down. The Jews had it all figured out, how many steps they could take away from their bed, so that people tied a string to their bed and did what they needed or wanted to do. The thinking was, I'm still touching my bed, so I'm okay. They spent a lot of time figuring out how to break the commandments than following them. I wish I could remember more about what he taught us. But let's look at it on the surface. It says, don't work. What's work and why not do any? Well, I think God knew what he had created in man. Some of us will work ourselves to death, not only ourselves, but our tools. Back then it was your animals and slaves. Can you believe it? God made that provision for all living creatures that we have control of. God knew that we wouldn't stop working, so he commands us to stop and rest in him. He wants us to take a day off for him. We really don't do this. We come to church for an hour or two, then God is over, back to work. Got to clean the house, finish that report, grade those tests, deliver that load. What happened to God? Did we leave him back at church? I'm not saying that we can't do anything, but even the chief priests and elders at Jesus' time would save and take care of their animals on the Sabbath. What I think was meant by the command was that our Lord knows that we need to rest in him to recharge and fuel up for another week of that rat race. So take a day off and rest. God knows we need it. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. A commandment with a blessing. That's a nice change. This one sounds easy. How hard is it for you to honor your parents? Unless you have abusive ones. Luckily, I didn't. Then it gets a little harder. What do you do? I don't know if any of you remember Dr. Laura. She had a shrink talk show on the radio. She's Jewish, and she answered this by saying, just make sure they have a roof over their head and food to eat. I guess that's one way of doing it. But once you can get healed and let go of the hurt, you can make that phone call. God does not want you to be abused. And I think some parents have turned in their parent cards. You may need to stay away from them. Some people are just that bad. If you have bad parents and you need to see them, take a friend or me or Jerry or Pastor Jerry. We'll go with you. That way you won't be alone. And remember, you can always pray for them. I think that counts as honoring them, especially the abusive ones. Don't miss out on this blessing. We need all we can get. Next, you shall not murder. Sounds simple enough. Don't murder, not kill. There's a difference. Murder is killing for the sake of killing. An example, someone calls you a name, hurts your feelings. You can't kill them. Even if he calls your mom something evil, you can't do it. That's murder. Killing is different. Someone attacks you and you protect yourself. In order for you to live, you may have to kill him. Or you accidentally run someone over. You didn't murder. You had an accident that resulted in someone getting killed. I think it's the same with our soldiers. They have a job to do. They kill people and break things. Again, not murder. People will split hairs on this. Let them. I'm not here to get that deep. To me, it seems that murder has some sort of forethought. There's some form of malice. Excuse me. Killing is more of a protection or an event that has unforeseen consequences such as a car accident. Sorry, new drugs, dry mouth. Or old drugs, taking old drugs again. Excuse me. You shall not commit adultery. What's that? Having affairs with other people other than your spouse. Easy enough, or is it? Did you even know thinking about it and you're guilty? Looking at inappropriate material on your computer and you're guilty of it? This is one of thought and action. The only one you should want and have is your spouse. In this day and age of how little women can wear and still be called decent, it's tough on us guys. We are very visual. And it's hard not to ogle these women. As Christian men, we need to watch our eyes. We need to watch where our eyes are going and what we're thinking about. This is a problem I've had. Not an easy one to break. But it can be done with God's help and a lot less computer time. Big reason why I'm not on the computer. We're getting there. Got a big print so I can read. You shall not steal. That sounds like an easy one. Or is it? Whose pen do you have in your pocket? Paperclip? Post-it notepad? Did you buy them? Or did you bring them home from work? Speaking of work, did you give a full day? Not working hard all day at your job could be considered stealing time. I know, it's fun to shoot the breeze with your coworkers, but whose time is it? Your company is paying you to work, not to chat with your friends. I catch myself doing that, and I have to get back to work. There's always that one guy who wants to talk your ear off. So you just need to walk away and get back to work. Another form of stealing is taking someone's work off the internet. Did you pay for that song, program, or other intellectual property? You see, we're using other people's work on our screens. We pay for that. That's not something we're just grabbing off the internet and using. We pay fees for our music. Someone did the work and should be paid, unless, of course, he gives it away. Remember Napster and the other music sharing sites. The courts called it stealing. I have to agree. I would hate to have someone steal my hard work. Another is that bill that was wrong and you caught it, or you were given extra change. That's stealing. How would you feel if you were on the other side of that? You'd pitch a fit. So be careful. It can be easy to blow off the little steals. No such thing in God's eyes. Next. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Sounds simple again. Don't lie about your neighbor. This could cover spreading rumors that you don't know to be true or just gossiping. Both are bad. If you watch a lot of daytime TV, you'll see the court shows. I dare you to watch one and pick out all the lies and half-truths. They want to win. So what's a little exaggeration to help your cause or help your cause or your friend's cause? You know the other guy did it. Why not make it easier for the judge? Look at all the riots lately. Were all the facts out before they burned down their towns? Or just what the chosen few wanted people to hear? It didn't take much for the right words to the wrong people, and someone's home or business was looted and up in flames. Why? Because they believed someone's lie. And an innocence paid the price, whether it was the officer or the two-year-old hit by a stray bullet. I call that murder. That's just my personal view. We have to be careful when we testify. We don't know where it will lead if we don't tell the truth. Last one. If you're keeping track of my computer, it's 11. If you're keeping track of your Bible, it's 10. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Finally, the last one. If you notice, my Bible is 11. Now, coveting. we are all guilty of that one once in a while. I've always wondered why it was here. What harm is there in wanting what your friend has? He seems to enjoy it. Why not me? If I had one, we could use them together and have a blast. Of course, using our wives together would be off limits. But why not the things? Well, for one, what if you don't have the money to buy it? Would it be okay to steal it or borrow it with the intent to return? I don't think so. I think it gets to the point of being satisfied what God has given you. He knows what you can handle and what would be a snare to you. Look at all the lottery winners who end up broke after a few years. People who have won millions of dollars end up broke. How many times have you said, if only I had $1 million, life would be good? Ask these folks. Wasn't that good for them? In fact, I think it got a lot harder for them. I've had a lot of time to think while I'm driving, and I can see where it would be a downfall for me. That pride thing and all. I think it would ruin me and my family. Go ahead and laugh, but think about it. God wants us to be content with what he gives us. He doesn't want us chasing our neighbor's dreams. He wants us submitting to him. Now, these are the Ten Commandments. That was just an overview from my perspective. Now, wrap this up. Now, you're probably wondering where I was going with all this. Well, it points to our need for a Savior. We can't follow these. Remember, they are commands, not suggestions. God says, do and don't do this, or you will pay. We all know what that payment is. It's hell. Simple as that. Eternal barbecue. Our Jewish friends had to kill and burn up animals to atone for their sins. Could you see if we did that today? They would have us outlawed by sundown. Luckily, God provided us with a perfect sacrifice. His son. He had to. It had to be perfect in order to please him. And since Adam and Eve screwed up a good thing from the beginning, he had to provide it. Wow. What a God. We screwed up. And he pays for us. That's what I call real love. And it's there for the taking. Just say yes to him, and eternal forgiveness will be yours. He wants you. He loves you. So just say yes to him. Thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you provided a way to get to you. Thank you. That you provided guidelines that we could try to live by. Thank you that you knew we couldn't do it. And that you provided a way that we could get to you. We can't thank you enough for providing the perfect sacrifice, Jesus. We love you dearly. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen.